Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Give me 1 second. Okay, we're all here. Okay. JD?
What up?
Hold on real quick. Did you have to click the link or it just automatically came through?
Oh, man, it came through.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so good evening, y'all.
What's
This
that?
is episode 36. Auntie's Block Podcast. Before we start, this episode is brought to you in parts by Lolendo. Buy some soap. Use promo code Auntie, AUNTIE, for 10% off at lolendo.com. All natural soaps. They're amazing. Go buy some soap. We have an artist interview tonight, and it was supposed to be like almost 2 months ago, but you know. Things happen, but here we are. So I'm going to let our artist go ahead and introduce himself for y'all. So go ahead.
What's going on, world? It's your boy, Tay P. From Florida, but now I'm living out here in Dallas, Texas, and just trying to pursue this thing. You know, working hard every day, just trying to make a name for myself.
Okay, so you from Florida.
Right.
What part of Florida are you from?
Ooh, small town. City's called Pahokee. Nobody really knows about it.
Town. Like, where is that by? Like, what's the major city?
It's like a small city, like an hour and a half outside of Miami, Fort Lauderdale area.
Oh, you like literally like
yeah,
is that
like,
shit even
South
on the map?
Florida. South Florida.
Wow. Okay. So how long you've been, and you say you're in Dallas now?
Yeah.
And how long you been in Dallas?
Going on 2 years now.
You like it?
Yeah, it's dope. You know, it's definitely dope. It's different.
Where you live?
Now I'm in that city life. Right on the outskirts. Actually, right on the outskirts of downtown Dallas.
So you in downtown. Okay. So
I'm like this city called Carrollton.
Oh, no. That's I guess
like, it's like just like 20 minutes outside of it. Yeah.
It's not bad. Near Denton and stuff, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Everybody's in Dallas. JD, we need to go to Dallas.
I already told you that, though. I told you.
Like, that's literally a major media
market.
That's where
I'm trying to move to. I'm trying to get back.
Oh, we're moving to Dallas, y'all. I don't know when, but we're moving to Dallas.
I don't know when.
When JD get out the military. But anyways, okay, so what is your stage name?
Tay P.
Okay, how did this come about?
Childhood nickname. I just kept it. It stuck. I felt like it didn't make sense to change it. I have had thoughts of changing it. It's just something I got to think about, though.
What would you change to if you did change it?
Yeah, it's definitely a thought process behind it. Recently, I've been using, like, if I promote something, the hashtag is usually hashtag legendary or hashtag little legend. So it will definitely involve legend.
Little legend ain't bad.
Yeah, so the reason I'm using that so much is because that's my main goal, is to be a legend in it. You know, you see people like, you see a lot of independent artists like Young Dolph, artists like Chance the Rapper, they doing it without signing a major record deal. And, you know, that's really my goal. I don't want to do that because of so many different stories you hear about artists getting screwed over that way. Definitely don't want to be that guy in the long run. So definitely want to take my own road, my own route.
How long you been rapping?
Man, this thing started, you know, when I was young, just doing, and this is usually how any artist starts. I started out in the church, mimicking different songs, just putting on for like different plays and stuff we used to do. Started out doing gospel music, did a few songs here and there, and then it just switched over, and then what I started doing stuck. Dropped two mixtapes back in 2016, a couple of singles in 2017. Like I said, when we moving to Dallas, I was trying to transition. And then once I did, I've just been doing different open mics here and there. I got two things coming up soon. So I want to say the better part of 4 years. It's just difficult not having that manager. And like I said, just trying to push it all on your own.
Yeah. When you say in the church, were you singing or were you trying to?
Nah, it was like a.
What kind of song? I mean,
I'm not sure if you're familiar with. I don't even know why I would say that. I'm pretty sure you are. MC Hammer start. That's how MC Hammer started out.
This fool.
I don't know why I said that. Relax. Get off me.
All right. I'm done. Go ahead.
All right. So you know, MC Hammer. He had this song. Do Not Pass Me By.
Yeah.
And that was my thing. I learned that song by heart. Church choir, they learned it. I did it with them, and then I used to just do it by myself. I think that's the reason why they did it. I did it by myself once, and they just wanted to put me on it. They had this song with, they used to have songs with Ty Tribbett, Fred Hammond, things of that nature. And instead of, you know, singing or whatever the case is, I just used to rap over certain parts, and they used to just take advantage of that gift, and I just kept sticking with it.
So
everybody started in the church. I swear, it's like a lot of y'all rappers just started in the church.
It's because when you in the church, you ain't got nothing else to look at.
That's like y'all just. That's crazy.
So that's a fact.
My other question I would ask is, how old are you now?
I actually turned 28 this weekend. I turned 28 Friday.
Happy belated birthday! What you do?
Nothing.
No, it's that turn.
Yeah, which
28 Friday?
Oh, well, what you doing?
I'll be in Vegas.
Oh, you're going to Vegas. I didn't really like Vegas.
Yeah. I hope. Why?
Because I don't know. It's just to me, it's like I've never been to Atlantic City, and I live in Jersey. But Vegas to me is like Atlantic City on steroids. Like Vegas just didn't do anything for me personally. Like it might be different for you, but it just, I don't know. It was just like, okay, I'm here. Like, what now?
Oh, okay. That makes sense then.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You should have fun, though. You're going to go drink and gamble?
I don't know about the gambling part.
Okay, so then why are you...
Hey, I'm...
That's why I didn't have fun. I didn't gamble.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to...
That might be the thing.
If you don't gamble, you just go in there for another city.
Right. You just, like, you're just going there. Like I said, it's literally just, like, it's a strip. You can literally go to, like, an outlet mall. And you'll get the same experience as Vegas. Like
that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, you should at least gamble $20.
Unless you want to just go there and just drink and walk in the open.
I mean, that's fun too. But I mean, imagine spending all that money to go to Vegas and having to pay those resort fees if you stay on the strip just to walk the strip and drink and walk.
That's right.
That's stupid. But furthermore, I hope you have a happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I hope you don't waste any unnecessary money. But back to the interview. So you've been rapping for about 4 years.
Right.
You only sent me one song.
How many songs do you have?
He said he put out two mixtapes. Dang, and I only got one.
Bad.
So
I sent like the SoundCloud link. So that's my apologies.
Yeah, you did, but only one song. Oh, I only listened to one. Because JD listened to one too, and he was wondering if you had more songs. Because it was literally only one song you sent.
Yeah, there's definitely a few on there. The first mixtape did 5 or 6 songs. The second one definitely did 5.
Okay, everything's here.
And then
okay.
3 singles.
And they're all on SoundCloud.
Yeah, right now SoundCloud. I'm definitely trying to transition them into Spotify and Apple Music.
So the song that we got, right?
Right.
What was the name of the song? Shit. Boss Moves, the anthem.
Yeah, Boss Moves. That was the first song, the only song that came up.
Yeah. When did you do that song?
That was on the second mixtape, the one in 17.
So it's not recent. Okay.
That's not super recent. The most recent ones, you have Back to the Basics, and then you have It's a Wrap.
Yeah, It's a Wrap. So yeah. When did you drop It's a Wrap?
It's a Wrap was dropped, I want to say, early 18.
You should have sent Well, not saying that you should have directly just sent us that one, but the song that you sent, it was a little outdated.
Gotcha.
So what we should have done.
What's your name? What's your rap name again?
TP. TP.
TP. All right, hold on. T A Y E. See if I can find you real quick.
What are you doing?
I'm about to listen to something else real quick.
Oh, okay. So you doing some more homework. Because usually, like, when y'all send us music, we usually listen to, like, whatever y'all send. It was, like, one song.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to just I don't want to criticize you on one song. And
especially that outdated song, because we was about to go in on you with that one song that popped up. So
oh,
go on and listen to the other one, JD.
Yeah. Go ahead and talk to him, though. Oh, no. My question for you is, my next question for you would be, what do you look for, and what made you actually want to start the career of being a rapper?
I mean, honestly, just looking at a lot of my favorite artists doing what they love, and then I just want the opportunity to do what they're doing, you know, change the world through music or have some type of influence on whoever my music may come in contact with.
Who do you look at for inspiration besides Chance the Rapper and Young Dolph?
I've been a fan of Wayne since I can remember. People like Wayne. I mean, for me, my top five definitely no specific order. Definitely would be Wayne, Jay-Z, Wale, and Kendrick. And I definitely can't forget J. Cole.
Okay. That's not bad. Those are pretty good people, I would say. I'm glad you ain't say nobody like Lil Uzi. No, not Lil Uzi. 6ix9ine.
No, I'm good with that.
But if you say 6ix9ine,
you know what? It's so funny because a lot of the folks that grew up in the church and stuff like that, that's really just not the type of music that they be on. Have you realized that, JD?
You say it one more time?
The folks that like grew up in the church that are now pursuing musical careers, trash rappers usually aren't their go-tos.
No.
Trash rappers.
No, they're trash. Like, just call it what it is. They're trash.
Facts.
So,
hey, are you still listening to that track?
I will say, I just turned it on, but I will say, it's a lot better.
That's a lot better than the first one, right?
This bug actually ride. Actually, you sound like you from Florida on this bug.
Yeah,
I like this. It's like a cross replies, bro.
Hey, that's,
yeah, that first track we bumped, was it?
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't come up with this one first.
I don't know why you. It's like everybody keeps saying Plies or Kodak, and it's
no,
kind
of
crazy.
No, this is more of a Plies. This is a Plies with the T pain like Shorty.
Yeah, that's why,
bro. This go hard. I'm about to re-listen to this whole. Back to the Basics is fire, bro.
Appreciate that, man. Definitely appreciate that.
So,
bro, I wish I could play this bug. This bug is fire.
Yeah, don't play it because we gonna have to.
But this bug is fire though. This bug is fire though.
Okay, because I was a little nervous. Like when you sent that track, I was like, I'm not really sure how we can tackle this interview because. I didn't really like it, you redeemed yourself.
That's all that matters.
Yes,
then.
You definitely, and especially if JD like it, because he'd be the first one to tell me, like, he'll text me, like, so what you think? And as soon as he texts me that, I already know, like, bro, we're already on the same page. Don't even do it. So, that's just what it is.
That is, yeah.
So, I mean, that's y'all got to deal with that. So, you don't have a manager. Are you looking to get into finding you a manager, somebody to help brand you and do what you have to do to get you out there? Because I'm going to be honest with you, you're 28, and in the industry world, being somebody's gonna sit up here and say, "Well, 2 Chainz old." Well, 2 Chainz had a long run as well. So
facts, he did.
Yeah, right. Definitely. So you, on the other hand, you can't align what, you know, these old ass niggas is doing now to your success. So your time frame right now, I would probably give you until about 32. And that's when you probably got to hang it up, because you don't have that long. You personally don't have a lot of industry time. Right. So do you consider getting yourself like a manager, A&R, branding manager? Like, what do you have you thought about any of that?
Yeah, all that stuff has been thought about. Like I said, with me transitioning here to Dallas, that's one of the tougher parts, considering I'm not from the area.
Right.
So it's just pretty much trying to learn everybody, make sure I can find someone I can trust. Earlier this month, August 9th, the show I was promoting all over social media. The guy that I work with, he has his own brand already. He's doing his own thing. This guy out of Texas, his name is Mo Bean.
Never heard of Mo B.
Yeah, he has this brand, clothing lines called Focused.
When did he start?
He's a little bit younger than me. He started his, I want to say, probably 2 or 3 years ago now.
So yeah, I wouldn't have heard of him yet.
Yes.
Have you done the K104? What is it, Kwanzaa Fest? I think.
I have not, and I've definitely been keeping my ear to the. Keeping my ear to the radio with K104, and definitely plan on reaching out to them.
Yeah,
sometime soon.
I would say reach out to them, because K104, Kwanzaa Fest, those were a lot of local rappers go to, and they really do a good job with letting, you know, new artists come up there and perform. And you'll know your crowd by when you be able to perform there, to be able to know where you actually ride.
That makes sense.
So, and then the reason I say this, because I got a lot of boys out there. I got my group, well, old group, we worked. When we were out there, we had a group, and my homeboys, Lil Live, Elzo, Triple D, we all were out there, and they were actually good, but the problem is that they didn't have people behind them, the money behind them, even though I was willing to do that. They didn't have a manager behind me, which I was trying to do that, but they didn't let me do it, because of the fact of the matter is that they were too busy trying to do their own thing and thinking that, you know, that they can do it their own way. And then they think that there's I don't want you to also think, because there are other avenues, right, besides hip hop and rapping.
Right.
But
right.
They went to the point of being promoters, thinking that the promoter part would benefit them more. Yeah, a little bit, because you're able to get in the clubs and you're able to rub shoulders, but if you don't do nothing with it, it don't matter.
Right.
So I would say that, I mean, make sure you're able to make connects, and it might not happen fast, but if you make connects down there, because you can make a lot of connects, especially down there, because everybody's trying to get on. Just watch out for the crab arrow that happens in Dallas.
Fact.
I mean, he might not have to worry too much. Dallas not like Atlanta, so he just got to. Dallas is too spread out, too.
Yeah, no, not the rap game. Not the rap game in Dallas. The rap game in Dallas is a crab. When I tell you it's a crab barrel, it's literally a crab barrel. Once you start getting bubbling and getting hot, people will use you for features, but then they'll try to push you down to push themselves up.
I mean, that's just period.
Yeah, but when I say Dallas, it's really Dallas, because if you look at Houston doesn't do that. That's why I said that.
Okay.
So that's I mean,
everybody out for themselves anyway. Like, it's just, that's just across the board. Like, yeah. Niggas do that shit in Jersey, and you be lucky if you make it out alive. It's not saying that they gonna kill them, but, you know, it can get to that point. Like,
damn.
Like, it's either me or you, like, but nah, it's just tough.
It's a tough,
you know, everybody want to secure a bag.
Exactly.
Ain't no problem, but you know, you can't be trying to knock everybody out the competition, because the competition might put you on. You know, it's just definitely. Like people just selfish. People yep. just they don't think no further than the bag.
Yep.
They just let me secure it and just fuck everybody else after that. That's just not. It's not how it goes, and that's why there's a lot of this drama right now with the women in the music industry, like very catty, petty. Like that is just a clear indication that it don't even matter if you got a bag secured. It's gonna be somebody at the top trying to shit on somebody that's, you know, right up there with them.
Yep.
So you gotta be mindful of your circle. You gotta be mindful of just people. Would you sign a label deal?
I mean, right now, if I'm familiar with certain terminology and if I have the right people behind me, someone that like a lawyer that understands the terminology and can say yay or nay, this is good, or nah,
see,
you
I'm
shouldn't
glad
do
you
that.
Brought that up. Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up, because the industry, it's like you got to pick your poison.
For sure.
I really want to work within the industry. I really do. But I know how bad it is at the same time. But like I said, I got to secure a bag. I don't give a fuck. However, with those lawyers in the industry, especially on the labels, do not get no label lawyer.
No,
do not. No. And the problem with that and what I'm seeing with a lot of artists is, especially the young ones, that they don't understand, they don't know. So they're just going to get with all the resources that they can get within the label. And those label lawyers are working with the label. So,
exactly.
You know, they got to eat. And that's just like JD was saying with the rappers, like, it don't matter. You know, the bag got to get secured, and if they got to, you know, put you in a bad spot, they'll put you in a bad spot just to secure whatever they got to, you know, secure. So, I mean, you're on the right track. Just don't go and get no label lawyer. Go gotcha. And get you a lawyer outside of the label,
for sure.
Even if you got to pay. Like, it's just, the industry's so wild.
You know, it's
like,
funny. Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny too? My homeboy Lil Ronnie, he said, this is one thing he said, because we asked him before, we said, would you sign if somebody came up with a deal? Would you go and sign it? He said, no. He said he wouldn't sign the first deal, first off. He said, but he wouldn't sign because he said, if one person's looking at him, that means there's somebody else that's looking at him too. So if he can say no to right. you, that doesn't mean if he says no, that doesn't mean that that's the end. Because if you're looking at him, that means he has to keep grinding because somebody else is going to look at him too. And now, I mean, Lil Ronnie's signed with Dirty Water, which is not, I mean, it's not a big group, right? But the thing is that he's still able to be able to do what he wants to do and not be, what is it?
Mainstream and popular.
Yeah, mainstream
like,
and told, and been like a puppet. He's not.
Okay, so basically, I get exactly what you're saying, JD, and that's another reason too why you see a lot of artists. Like, I'm gonna take Good Music for example, because I love Sci-Hi. He on Good Music, but the problem with that is he's not mainstream like he should be, and artists tend to that don't want to water down their craft, that want to respect their art, that want to maintain it. They're going to do what they have to do. Like, yeah, he signed a Kanye. Okay, no big deal. But at the same time, he has control over what it is that he needs to do, because if he allowed them to have total control, he would be bigger than what he is, because he's a great artist. And when you tend to sign these deals, you have to respect what you do, your work, your craft, your art. Can't nobody take that from you at all, unless you go and sign something to a label that ends up having total control over everything. And just because, like JD just said, just because somebody has got their eye on you and they want you to sign a deal, it's 10,000 other people, I'm exaggerating, but you get the point,
yeah,
that got an eye on you as well. So you should just never hop at one opportunity. You need to literally sit and figure out what makes sense, that's gonna give you some longevity, even if you don't even want to be like up there, like on Drake level and all them. You know what I'm saying? Just because it's a deal, it don't mean that it should be the only deal that you ever take, or, you know, the first deal that come. And that's what a lot of artists do. They tend to take whatever deal comes first, not knowing that there's other options. You know, they're acting on impulse. Like, I just want to make it. Like, they see these rappers with the chains and the, you know, the Gucci, Versace and all that. Like, yeah, facts. I want to live that life. But the problem with that is a lot of that stuff they're wearing was free.
Or rented.
Right. Right. And then to make it even worse, that, you know, a lot of these rappers, they think a lot of these rappers rich. A lot of these rappers ain't rich. And a lot of them is putting up this facade just because, you know, it's the media. That's what the media do. You know, it's that's why I said the industry nasty. So they putting up this facade and you thinking that they, you know, they making it. They good. Like, they not.
Struggling, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, just because, like, numbers is everything now within the game. But just because the numbers is there, it don't mean that the numbers is actually, good. Because they eight times out of ten, they got to pay a lot of that money back to the label, or they got to go, like, they be having, like, 10 people on their team. Bro, why are you splitting your money with 10 people?
So, guess who I just thought of, though?
What's up?
So, my boy Lil Ronnie, his best friend and that he rapped with was T Wayne, right?
Right.
Wayne was the first one to sign. I think T Wayne signed his first deal, or Hurry Up and Signed. And his manager was Deb
Anthony. Oh, Deb Anthony?
Yeah. So he had one song that was kind of hot. And then right now, you don't hear anything from him. Lil Ronnie signed with Dirty Water, which is in Texas still. And Lil Ronnie's putting out more stuff than you hear from T Wayne. But T Wayne is actually signed. I don't know if he signed to Warner Brothers or what. I think it's Warner Brothers. But anyway, he signed and he's trying. This is funny. He thinks that because he has a name or that he signed, that he actually has, what is it, kind of power, I guess, sort of speak. But nobody's heard of him, right?
Mm.
So T Pain, remember when T Pain came out with the mixtape? That dated mixtape that was called T Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
T Wayne didn't want that put out because he didn't want it to be mixed up with his name.
A conflict of interest.
He didn't want it to be mixed up with his name, so he was like, right. I guess he basically told T Pain he didn't want it to come out. But the thing is that, bro, you're not big enough. Yeah, you might be signed to a major label, but that don't mean shit.
No, it don't, because I know a lot of them little niggas that's just spawning out of nowhere, sitting right down there at the labels. Like, them labels be having, they be having, it's like a roster, like a basketball roster. Like, y'all, they just be sitting, waiting exactly. for their turn.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, like, all them new rappers coming out, like, we're, like, y'all can't tell me y'all was just discovered on social media. Y'all niggas was at the labels. Sitting exactly. around waiting. Like, they was grooming y'all and getting y'all ready. You know what I'm saying? And then y'all ended up popping off, mm-hmm. and now you don't, like, want to deal with the labels, or the labels are still behind you, but you decide not to sign. Like, it's so much politics that go into this stuff, and it's just, you gotta pick your poison. You really gotta pick your poison, like.
But I know I'm glad that he's already thinking of not signing label, more so being independent. Just know it's a lot of work being independent.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you ready to put that work in?
I mean, I'm always ready to work, man. That's definitely what I thrive on, that blood, sweat, tears, determination, and motivation. Just, yeah, it's a lot of work and a lot of hard work that goes into it. A lot of footwork, too. So it's been a lot of self-promotion and working on just putting people on the team that actually want to work and understand that it's not gonna come overnight.
What do you do now, if you don't mind me asking?
Security at a hospital and substitute teaching.
Okay. Oh, so you freaking you got a little education behind you then?
Yeah, definitely.
That's what's up. What did you go to school for?
Jobs.
Arts and humanities, fell under the field of communications.
Okay.
What is it called?
Just it was RC. It's RC Humanities, but it's under the communication umbrella.
So what does that all mean?
I mean, just communication, like, things that journalism, writing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Okay. Oh, journalism. Oh, that's a good one. Even though I hate journalists, but you know, that's a good skill to have. So you said you was doing footwork. So what do you do as far as networking goes? Like, how does that work?
Right now it's mostly social media, and when I go to these open mics or events such as the one I did on August 9th, just making sure I network with the individuals in the building. I met with two or three people on the August 9th show. I mean, in addition to the people that were already there. You know, two or three people pulled me to the side and was like, yo, we feeling your music. Let's get together and let's do some work. So just things of that nature. And I mean, like you said, that's still your stuff you have to watch out for. But, yeah. You know, I feel like it's dope that, you know, people respect and understand your craft and are ready to work behind it. So I'm definitely looking forward to working with the individuals that I met with. It's just a matter of, like I said, I'm cautious like that anyway. I don't really like letting a lot of people in my circle. So, I mean, I was working with somebody once when I got here. Haven't heard from them in a while, so I'll leave that there. But it's just a matter of, you know, if you're ready to work, let's work. But I ain't gonna chase you to give you my money, and I ain't gonna waste my time.
Yeah, that's another thing. A lot of them, y'all rappers is like easy licks. Not gonna lie. When it comes
that's
to,
because they, but it's only
they want to make
think
it.
That they're dumb too. So
let me keep it real with you, real quick, because some of them really are. However, like my little brother, he has this rap group called. I don't want to say no names. I don't want to put them on Front Street like that. But they got a little rap group. And he texts me all the time about what he should do, what type of moves he should make and stuff like that. Because he's almost 21. So he don't know nothing. So he texts me the other day and he wanted to go to this event. And I'm like, all right, well, it sounds good. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's free, go. So then he texts me back and was like, oh, the promoter want me to pay $1,500 for...
What the fuck?
Wait, let me finish for a 5-minute set. And I'm sitting here like, what? I'm like, this not even Southwest by Southwest. This isn't even AC3. Like what? He wants you to pay $1,500 and then to make it worse, like one of his boys that's on in his rap group, he a DJ. And he was DJing at this club. And you sitting here trying to tell me that he wanna charge you $1,500 for a set and do DJing. Excuse me, what?
Yeah,
so,
that's
like,
wild.
Right, so like I said, y'all rappers, y'all some easy licks. And he asking me, should he do this? Don't ask me no goofy shit like that. That don't even sound like it makes sense. Why would you spend $1,500 on a 5-minute set in a club that's like a hole in the wall? Absolutely not.
That's retarded.
So y'all have to really be mindful, especially with like everybody, like the promoters. Then you got people that act like they A&Rs, and then you got folks out here that act managers. Like they managers. And then they start wanting to charge you stuff like that, and then
be gone.
It's just like people that really rock with your music that want to be around you and stuff like that, and then they just start doing some goof. Like you gotta watch who you interact with. You really just got to keep your circle tight, like, no matter what. And y'all got to stop being some easy licks, because it's like, I'm not going to lie. If I was a promoter, I'd do the same thing. I got to eat.
That's true. I mean, they made a movie about it, Janky Promoters. I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah. You know, I got to eat. I mean, I'm going to try to be ethical about it, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, it's really nothing unethical about charging $1,500 for a set. You know what I'm saying? Especially for a club that you... But at the same time, it's like, who in their right mind gonna pay for something like that? Like, that don't even make any sense on the type of platform that they're giving you. Like, that's not logical at all. And there's no artist gonna be there? No bigger artist? Absolutely not. So it seemed like you know exactly what you're doing. It seemed like you also, too, need a little bit more time to do what you have to actually do. Like, you seem like you're busy.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a... I told you you got to, like, 32. Do you got, like, a 3-year plan?
I mean, that's the reason I stick with it. That's the reason I don't just drop the security job. And that's the reason I'm still subbing. Subbing gives me an opportunity to keep my foot in the door for future certification. It's just to make sure I have a fallback plan, because I always knew it wasn't guaranteed. Not everybody's right. going to blow like that, you know what I'm saying? Right. So my goal from day one was to make sure I had a backup plan for myself, considering that one day I do want to have a family. So you can't spend your whole life saying, oh, I'm going to blow up, and then you don't, and then you'll have a backup plan.
Right. Well, I mean, at least you're smart in that aspect, because some folks, they be quitting their jobs and they just be forgetting life.
Going all in.
And then you start funding, you got people funding their, like, and then they just never blow up. And it's just like,
exactly.
Bro, can I get my money back or something? Like, like what yeah. you doing? So, like, that's probably the smartest thing. Anybody that wants to be successful, it would be smart. They usually have a backup plan. I mean, I got a pretty nice backup plan if this podcast and stuff don't come together. And
man, fuck
I
this
really
backup
don't...
plan.
Huh?
I said, fuck this backup plan I got.
Well, yeah, the military is, yeah, you're right. But everybody should have a backup plan if it does not work out. I mean, you can have a 9-to-5 and still work on your dreams, you know, but people make it seem like you can't, like... Y'all lazy. If it's something that you really want to do, you're going to actually do it.
Yep, you're going to make time for it.
Right, you're going to make time for it. And it's very time consuming. Nonetheless, when you actually have a dream and you're actually working a 9-to-5 and you're investing your dream on the side. I should not be up at 8 o'clock at night doing this episode, but I have a dream. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like little things like that. Like, I could be asleep right now. I could be doing something else. I could be outside. We were in the streets, but you know, you gotta make time for things that you actually want to do. But I don't have any more questions. Oh, I got one more. Okay. Do you need validation in order to understand that your music is good, or do you just trust in your music and you don't need the validation from the world?
Don't think I've ever been asked that question. That's actually a great question. I used to for whatever reason, I used to feel like I needed a head nod from certain people, or just people in general, for it to seem like, okay, he doing something. But I've come to a point now where I realize I don't, because even though it's closer to you, sometimes can turn out to be snakes when it comes to that type of thing. So I just try to keep my head up, remain positive and motivated behind whatever it is I'm doing. You know, if they approve of it. If they don't, then they don't. I mean, even major artists have, like, people have their fan base. I remember when KOD first dropped, I watched people talk down on J. Cole for KOD, saying things along the lines of, it sounded like elevated music or whatever the case is. And, you know, I completely disagree with that. You know, one of few artists that went platinum or double platinum without a feature, you know, pretty much doing it on his own. So, I mean, I just get motivated by stuff like that. I don't need your approval to feel like I'm doing okay. But at the same time, of course, you want that music to jump, and like you said, it's about numbers now. So yeah, you want to get those streams, you want to get people listening, but I feel like I don't need your approval to feel like I did good on the music. I mean, I gotta let it speak for itself. I mean, if it blow, it blow. If it doesn't, I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not gonna lose no sleep over it. Like we stated earlier, it's just all about having that backup plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so long story short, you don't need the validation. You're doing what you're doing for you.
Facts. I'm just doing it because I love it. If it blow, it blow. If it don't,
it don't.
I'm not mad at nobody.
Get back in the studio and try it again.
Exactly.
That's real. JD, do you feel like that? What we do? Do you need validation from people?
I mean, it's nice to have it. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to have it. I don't need it. But the thing is that if as long as you know what you're doing,
right,
and what your goal is and what you're shooting for, what people say doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Listen to criticism. Listen to criticism.
Right.
Gain from it. Learn from it. Do better. But don't let that stop you from doing what you want to do.
Exactly.
Because you know what? You got haters in this world, and these haters sometimes are vicious, and they'll make you sit and reevaluate your life. Like, damn,
let me your try whole this. Life, yeah,
right. Like, let me try. Let me quit this. Let me try something else. And
I've got that so many times already.
Right, but you know what? At the end of the day, like, your haters are your motivators. Like, if they hating on something that you're doing, it's because they can't do it. So you know what? All you got to do is just keep doing it and piss them off. And what they're gonna do? They're gonna complain and they're gonna support. Like, their complaining is support, basically. So they're gonna complain about it and they're gonna promote it to the world. So you know what? Hate it. Bring it in.
Well, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny with me because, of course, you know, with my job or whatever, right? Of course, I tell people, hey, I can't go out tonight or whatever, or I can't go out because I got to do a podcast at this time. But afterwards or whatever the case would be, right? And they're like, man, don't nobody care about your podcast, da da da. Like my homeboy said that, right? My supervisor, basically, he said that, right? But at the same time, he was the last interview we did. He was sleeping on the couch, and he woke up listening to me talking, and then he told my ex, because he saw my ex last weekend, and he was like, you know what, JD really got a whole podcast, like,
bro, that's what like I'm a saying. Real whole podcast. People be hating. Like,
that's how I be. When they hear it, they're like, oh shit, no, like you're not because the problem is they hear so many people say, yeah, I got this going, and it really don't be nothing. Like, they're not really working. So when you find somebody who's actually working, that they care about their craft and, you know, they're doing it, and then they hear it, they're like, oh, shit, you're not joking with the shit. Like, you're for real when you actually do it and shit. So, I mean, for me, in my perspective, yeah, you know, I take criticism. But if you're just a straight hater, like, you know, you ain't doing shit, this, then I'm like, okay, whatever, nigga. But then if you actually hear it, you know, I listen to people that actually take time to listen. Because I got another homeboy that I work with, a coworker, and he's like, bruh, I listened to your podcast. This shit was hilarious. I was cracking the fuck up. Da, da, da. Like, that's the type of people that you want, is somebody that's actually listening. If they listen, if they actually take the time to listen to your stuff and then criticize your stuff from what they hear and tell you how you can fix it, not just criticize it, but tell you how you can do better with it, then those are the people that you want to listen to. Not the people that just say, oh, that shit sucked, and then they just, that's it. Like, okay, if it sucked, what sucked about it? I don't know, it just
exactly.
sucked.
Exactly.
Okay, well, you just a hater then.
Right, yep. Exactly.
My last question for you was, do you produce at all?
No, not right now anyway. Nope. That's the next step I'm trying to take. That's something I said I always wanted to do. It's funny that you mentioned that because when I think y'all said Boss Moves was outdated, it's kind of crazy like that because it wasn't as great as Back to the Basics. It's that improvement that was made within it, you know. And once I did see that, it's like I could do all this on my own and save myself some money or whatever the case is. So that is my next step. That's my next goal, is to master the art of producing. And you can be behind the scenes like everybody else, because rapping doesn't have to work out. But if you can produce some dope shit, you good.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I wanted to know, because, I mean, I've tried to do the producer thing. I'm too scatterbrained to do it. I start on one project, and I'll be like, oh, this shit sounds good. Let me try it on something else. And then I got about 100 projects that's just unfinished. So I quit trying to do that shit. But I like the behind the scenes, because the behind the scenes is where the money's at that nobody sees.
Exactly,
and those are where all the jobs are at that nobody knows, because everybody's too busy trying to.
Yeah, that's another thing. They make money. Them behind the scenes people, like I'll work behind the scenes. I don't want to be in the spotlight, but you know, sometimes you can't pick that all the time. But they make a lot of money, and people be sleeping on them. But people don't understand. Like, there's a machine that moves a lot of things. And like the artist, yes, you have the artist in the forefront, but you also have the machine behind the artist, and that's their PR team, their manager, their branding management, their you know, the producers, and you know, the label execs. Like, all them people behind the artist are the main ones that's making more money than the artist. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Like, John, I just looked up on, what is it, Indeed Jobs or whatever. And dude, I looked it up for managers. I think it was managers, for entertainment managers. The motherfuckers can make up to about $500,000.
Yes, they make bread. Year. And then the bad part about it is they don't even got to break bread with nobody. No. But the artist does.
Yeah, exactly. You have 3-4
artists? Bro, you're straight. You're good.
500K, like, bruh, a year?
Yes, they make money. They got to get their cut before anybody get a cut. So go on and hand that 20-30% over, baby. Hand it over.
This is what I realized.
You keep your 10-20. Yep. While you pay everybody else off.
This is what I realized. I said, I'm going to go to school for entertainment business, because I was either going to be music business or entertainment business. I'm taking entertainment business all the fucking way, because you can do anything in entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Already.
You need a manager. JG's here. Just kidding.
I'm about to be. Fuck out of here. What's the fuck, I'm about to be everything. I don't want no boss. This is the problem. I don't want no boss. Boss. The word boss, like, gives me anxiety. Like, for real. So I have to find a way of not having a boss. Partnership, fine. Boss, no.
Definitely agree.
Yeah, and I think it would be wise for, you know, you to understand the business ins and outs. And I suggest that to any artist. I had to teach my artist a whole lot. And I'm happy because he literally told me the other day, he said, you have taught me enough so I can know how to handle myself when I go into these, you know, these little meetings and stuff like that he'd be having, because I can't be there. So I had to teach him, you know what I'm saying? So, and it's just smart to either connect with somebody that actually understands, and for you knowing and you finding out, you know, how the music business is actually ran, the ins and outs is very cruddy, very cruddy. So you don't get played, so you know how to move, and so you know how to handle your business, and know when, like, something just don't sound right. Like, I'm telling you, as soon as they start hitting y'all with numbers, it's like y'all brains just turn to slime. It's like y'all don't think. So you gotta have a strong mind when you're walking into you know, this type of business.
And know your worth.
And know your worth. And just don't settle for anything because you think, oh yeah, they giving me a dollar advance, and you know, this late, bro, that $70,000 is really 30. You done, you broke. Like, it ain't even worth it. Yep. That $30,000 is gone once you pay rent for a year. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
No, it's just not. You got to be logical, and you got to just go in with an open mind and understand what you're going into before you just make any type of decisions in this type of business, period. So my takeaway from this interview is to go do some homework. Know the ins and outs of the music business. If you can go and you could be your own producer, do your own beats, what have you, do that to save you some money.
Yep.
I said that on Twitter one day, and I had folks kind of upset, like, how you taking money out of my pocket, bitch? Fuck you. Like, some people really just want to have all their money. Like, it's nothing wrong with, you know, people that want to be self-sufficient, and I am totally for that. And then you got people that are lazy that just want, you know, people to do everything. Do that too, and just give them your money. But if you have the mind to be able to do everything on your own, and you want to do everything on your own and not have to cut these people no check, bro, go learn this stuff on your own.
Exactly.
That check that you cut in for them, you could have put that check into learning how to do this, how to produce, how to make beats.
And it's free.
Right, and it's free. You know, mixing, mastering, all that. Like, mixing and mastering is expensive. And for the life of me, I don't understand, you know, these motherfuckers, whatever. Nick, go learn how to do it yourself. if you can.
Because you paying people to mix and master, and them motherfuckers is fucking that shit up. They still get paid.
Yeah, they be messing it up. Like, you gotta listen to that stuff like 3, 4, 5 times, and like, they know. And the bad part, they don't even be, they swear they know your sound, and they swear they know what you like, and they just be doing it based on their ear, but their ear is not your ear. So now you sitting there a couple days, you're supposed to release the track on Monday, now you gotta release it on Friday because he can't get it right. Bro, go learn how to do this on your own. Exactly. Because only your ear know how to handle this and how you like it. Their ear don't.
Yep.
So when you start seeing them problems, bro, go learn that. Go learn it on your own. Please. But other than that, like, I like this interview too.
Yep. Same.
Yeah, same. I definitely appreciate y'all for having me. It's been a long time coming.
real quick, how many interviews have you done?
Actually, you guys are my first interview, and
okay, that's good, because when you blow up, I need you to promote this interview.
Of very course, interview. I'm gonna promote like, it anyway. That's like, going. That's gonna like, happen. It seems
like like the very first interview ever done that you ever have on record, I will have. So like, even if you don't blow up, I'm still gonna have it, and I'll play it back when me and JD blow up. I'll play this interview back. Like, damn, this is the very first interview he had, and this is when we had trash audio before we actually got a studio.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Memories. But you ain't do bad for your first interview.
Well, I'm good, man.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised you weren't timid, you wasn't stuck or anything. Like,
make sure you look into K104.
Oh yeah, though I'm gonna do that as soon as we're done. Yeah,
make sure you look at all the Quasar Fest, because Quasar Fest is coming up soon. Like what, 3 months? What are we in right now? August. September, October, August. November. So yeah, 3 months. Quasar Fest. Make sure you look into that. Make sure you look into all the clubs that's around the area, especially in downtown Dallas. I forgot. It's not Onyx. It's a club that's close down there. Make sure you go and get connects with all those people, so you can be able to try to do, because I know they have amateur nights and all that stuff. Make sure you go and check those places out and try to get your name so you can be able to perform.
Definitely on that.
That's all I got.
Okay, but yeah, that's all I got too. But other than that, you know, y'all, about to drop this episode, but y'all, go, my mother is just so good. Like, mother, I'm recording. And now she whispering. She's so crazy. yeah, go buy some soap. That's it. That's all I got. I'm
about to go buy some drink. Fuck you, man.
JD, you need rehab. I need to get in contact with somebody because this is getting out of hand.
I'm at the liquor store right now. I ain't got out the car yet.
That's why you was doing all that moving. You know what, y'all have a good night.
All right, y'all be easy, man.
Great interview, JD. Make sure you get home safe, and I'm gonna talk to y'all later. Good night.
Good night.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.